Good morning, AU. This is your girl, Morning Wood. Thanks for getting up for me. And for those of you who never went to bed, your stamina is appreciated as ever. We're coming at you live from Alexandria University Radio, WHAU, the WOW signal. Nothing quite like that midnight cup of coffee, am I right? As usual, we're going to get things started with our open line segment. It's your morning wake-up call. Caller 1, you're on the air. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, am I on the air?
You sure are. Who are we talking to?
My name's Gore. And I really like your show. I've heard a lot of them.
Gore, nice. So, like, blood and gore?
No.
Gotcha. So what are you up to tonight, Gore? Cramming for an exam? Evading arrest?
Oh, I'm not a student at AU. Actually, I'm a vampire and I...
I'm sorry, a vampire. Shouldn't you be out and about stalking your next meal right about now?
Well, I mean, I didn't say I was a particularly good one. Although I am thinking of trying to take some night classes, you know, to better myself.
Yeah, why not? Sounds like a noble endeavor. You are a credit to your blood-sucking race.
Well, yeah, anything to get me out of the situation I'm in now.
Is that so? What exactly is your situation, Gore?
Well, I used to think I was this badass monster. You know, a real scourge of the night kind of stuff. But, I'm having some trouble lately. It's, it's about my ex.
This isn't that kind of late night show, my friend. You miss Leo the Love Doctor at 9.
What if I told you my ex was a literal succubus of the third gate, spawned in the seventh realm of hell, and is prophesied to herald the coming apocalypse?
Go on.
Well, it all started a couple of weeks ago. Me and Joan, Joan, that's my ex. We were fighting, you see, and we were always fighting, and I was beyond sick of it. She'd go on and on and on and on about how much she loved me and how all she wanted was to give me the world and more, but then she'd go and seduce my friends.
Wow, that's pretty low, man.
Right? Do you know how hard it is to make friends? I mean, good friends, when you're a damn, like, creature of the night, right? But if you asked her, she'd tell you she was just the best girlfriend in the world. You want to know how she apologized to me the last time she did it? She gave me a stack of Wowza Burger coupons. Can you believe that shit?
Whoa, there, my night-crawling friend. Let's keep it clean for our younger, yeah, more impressionable, yeah, insomniacs, okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just... It makes me want to just squeeze the life out of something, you know? Wowza Burger coupons. I'm a vampire, Morningwood. I don't eat burgers. I don't... Not even when they're, you know, cooked super rare, you know? And when I told her that, you know what she said to me? She said, well, your friends eat burgers, don't they? Oh, man. Let me tell you, I saw red. And I'm not even talking, you know, not in a good way. Have you ever seen what a guy looks like when a succubus is through with him?
I'm afraid I can't say I have, Gore.
It's not pretty. Shitty fast food isn't much of a substitute for your soul, and it turns out those things are not interchangeable, like at all, right? But I'm supposed to defend her?
It's not my fault I'm a hot tamale, she said.
She sounds like something else.
You have no idea. Honestly, I would have taken care of her myself if I wasn't afraid she'd just rise more terrible and powerful than ever before. All I ever wanted was to broaden my horizons, meet new people, and she just didn't get it.
So, not that I don't sympathize with your predicament, but what can Morning Wood do for you? I'm not exactly minoring in exorcism. I'm not even sure AU still offers that these days.
Right. I was getting to that. So Joan, my girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, anyway, it wasn't easy getting out from her claws, but I did it. had to break the door down. Man, my landlord's gonna be pissed. At first I figured I'd just blow off some steam. I had some time to hit the local club scene before last call. Figured I'd, you know, grab a quick bite to eat. But then I got to thinking, well, why stop there? She was never going to accept that we were done, and I was never going to make any friends as long as the old ones kept turning into dried-out husks. So I went to the Greyhound station, and I hopped a bus, and I got out of town.
Good for you, man.
Oh, it was great. I bummed around like that for a while, hopping from town to town. Had to scrounge for food in alleys whenever I got hungry, but it wasn't bad, you know.
Dumpster diving's just modern-day foraging, I suppose.
I don't eat garbage, just douchebags. Anyway, I was traveling for a few days before I kind of sort of accidentally took the wrong bus, and I was supposed to be headed to Raleigh, but instead I wound up in Alexandria, and I figured I'd just head right back out of town the first chance I got, but then I saw an ad. I almost missed it. It was pinned up between a missed connections note and a missing flyer for someone's pet armadillo. I have it here. Hold on. It said foreign students need roommate, seeking human to occupy shared space for undisclosed amount of time. And it was like a light bulb went off. Well, why couldn't I be a student? Why couldn't I occupy some space for an undisclosed amount of time? I love occupying space. I'm great at it. The human thing was kind of a bump in the road, but I figured I could, you know, burn that bridge when I got to it. And I was thinking maybe this was exactly the change of pace I was looking for.
So you're calling to ask me whether or not you should answer the ad?
Oh no, I've been here for like 2 weeks now. These guys, they didn't really seem foreign at first, you know? Said they were Canadian. Figured I'd lay low with these chumps for a while and mind my own business until I could figure out what to do next. And if I got a little peckish, well, who's gonna miss a Canadian, right? Only I can't shake the feeling they're watching me. Always watching me. Like I'm a bug under a microscope. To be honest with you, they're kind of freaking me out.
Do you think they figured out that you're one of the godforsaken undead?
Well, not yet. And if they did, like I said, poutine flavored's just as good as any, right? It's not that I'm really, really worried about them. It's just that I don't know if I can hack it. You know, I haven't been a student in a long time, like a really, really long time, and I'm going to be sitting in class with a bunch of spoiled brats who won't remember what it was like when leech hunting was a mandatory part of med school. You know, what if Joan was right? What if I'm never going to be anything more than what I am now? What if I'm just not cut out for it?
Well, you won't be with an attitude like that. Look, I'm not going to pretend I get the intricacies of whatever weird LARP dating scene you got dragged into.
What's a LARP?
Anyway, you can't expect to get anywhere if you quit before you've started. It sounds like you've already come a long way, leaving your toxic ex, channeling your inner Salinger, going on a journey of self-discovery. I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit. Stop worrying about what you maybe can't do and focus on figuring out what you can. You know what I mean?
Get many hitchhikers out here?
What?
You know, transients, vagrants, hobos, whatever. If I'm going to be calling this place home for the next few years, I'm going to need a steady food supply.
Gore, that's great. I mean, also super illegal, totally not condoning cannibalism or whatever.
Isn't your school mascot the Wendigo? Jeez, I think one of my stupid roommates just blew himself up. Man, these guys are so weird. I gotta go. Good talk, MW.
Well, that was fun. best of luck to you, Gore. It sounds like you're going to need it. And that brings me to our special guest tonight. You might know him from his profile on our university's website, or from his recent appearance on the local news after the riot at this year's homecoming game. Our very own Dean Flavius Edward Higgins.
Good evening, Wood. Or good morning, I guess.
That's Morningwood, sir.
Morning, yes. Sorry, I'm not used to being up at this hour. I'm not much of a night owl these days, what with university business, you know. Budgets to balance, football players to wrangle. But it's great to be here with you, Miss Wood.
Morningwood. So I understand you have some proclamations to share with us.
Sorry. What kind of show is this again?
AU's top rated Dean Flavius Higgins. Anyone ever call you Dean Flav?
Absolutely not. Right. Announcements. First, Sam, the proprietor of AU's favorite pub, the Ironclad, would like to introduce her latest microbrew creation. It's called Eldritch Stout, and this week, it's 2-for-1. Sam also suggests that you maybe change things up a bit at the pub jukebox. Perhaps tonight's the night we don't play the same tired song over and over. Namely, there have been some strenuous objections to, what is it? Go West by the Village People.
Oh, wait, I think I know that one. This is it, right?
Yes, yes, that one. Thank you. She requests that you stop playing that one.
No promises.
More announcements? We have a message from Dr. Ferdinand, professor of economics. Dear fellow professors, come morning, as you prepare to guide your students on their journey to delve into the mysteries of the universe, please keep in mind that the last poppy seed bagel in the faculty lounge is mine, as I have clearly called dibs. Well, okay then, Doctor, we certainly understand the sanctity of dibs. That bagel is yours. Also, the groundskeeper would like to remind everyone to stay off the grass between 4:20 and 4:21 p.m. today, as the gibbous moon is waning and, well, obviously, your safety cannot be guaranteed.
That sounds ominous. What, are we having a rampant chupacabra problem again?
No. And finally, please show your support today for our women's bocce ball team, the Wendigos, in our match against our longtime rivals, the Miskatonic University Cephalopods. Yes, very nice sound effects. I like that. What fun.
Happy to help, sir. Anything else for us, Dean Flav?
That's... No. Thank you, Miss Wood. Goodbye, students, esteemed faculty, and generous alumni. And thank you for your enthusiastic support of WHAU, Alexandria University Radio. Ia, Ia, Wendigos.
Now that we've got business out of the way, it's time to move on to the evening's entertainment. That's right, guys. We're cracking open the Alexandria Archives. Here at AU, we're more than just a school. We're a community. Ever since our founder launched his first disastrous attempt at establishing an institution of higher learning here on the outskirts of our scenic, dismal swamp, Alexandria has been home to all kinds of characters. So tonight, we'll be presenting a story contributed by one of your Alexandria brethren. Turn up the volume or plug in those overpriced Bluetooth headphones, I've got a real treat for you. I found an audio file waiting for me on my desktop just a few days ago, and nobody could tell me exactly how it got there. I can't tell you much about the listener who sent us this submission, but as soon as I listened to it, I knew it needed to be heard. From us to you, here's their story.
My name is Lisa Mendez. In August of 2013, I moved back to Alexandria. For the bird watchers, Alexandria is a sleepy college town that sits on the borders of North Carolina's dismal Swamp State Park. For the college kids, it's a good football team, solid pizza joints, and bars where no one looks twice at a fake ID. For townies like me, it's the kind of place where people are born in, and they die. Of course, I hated it. I left for school, did some traveling, and then I spent 3 years working for Google in Austin as a part of assistant admin team. I never thought that I'd move back to Alexandria. I was happy in Texas. I had a girlfriend. The drinks were good, and the food trucks were plenty. 3 years and things were going great, until they weren't. Samantha and I broke up. Then Google started pulling money away from their SA department. So when my mom got sick in May, I knew I had to cut my losses. It was time to go home. For a while, at least. That's what I told myself. There aren't a lot of tech firms in that part of North Carolina, east of Raleigh, but I managed to find an SA job at Gibbous Systems Development. The team was way smaller than I was used to, only 3 people, including me. It was a 24/7 kind of place. Whenever there was a new systems rollout, one of us got stuck with overnight babysitting duty. Drink lots of coffee, make sure the servers don't catch fire, that kind of thing. No big deal. Being the new girl, I managed to not get the short straw for the first 2 rollouts after I was hired. But by October, it was my turn. I didn't really mind, to be honest. I'd pulled all-nighters at Google before. Between work and taking care of my mom, my schedule was always packed. I was kind of looking forward to having time for myself to a change. It'd be nice to just watch a movie. Maybe play some Warcraft. Distractions. It was just after 1 a.m., and I was finishing up some cheap 80s puppet monster horror movie when my support window popped up. "Computer acting funny," the message read. "All my windows closed, and now some video is playing on my screen. Maybe a virus? Can you help me, please?" I groaned. It was just my luck. Rita Carlsworth. I didn't recognize the name, but then I was never the mingling type. After a minute of staring at the message window, I rubbed my eyes and typed back, "What's your IP address?" I asked her. "I'll go in remotely." A minute passed. 2, 3. No answer. "Still with me, Rita?" I tried again. Radio silence. I sighed and pulled up the employee directory, which I had been avoiding until now because I was tired and I felt like being lazy. I found Rita's IP address, along with her department and floor number. She was on the 4th floor, 2 floors below me, in accounts payable. I pulled up my remote terminal and entered Rita's IP address. An error message popped up. "The address you are trying to access is not available. Their terminal is either turned off or disconnected from the network. Please contact your administrator for further assistance." And yet there she was. Connected, available, and online. I might have asked her if she was logged on remotely, except that my cursor was blinking quietly away with my response like it was carrying a beat. I checked my watch. Almost 1:30. I checked my rollout log. No issues. I decided it was as good a time as any to get some coffee and stretch my legs. The lethargic life I'd assumed since returning to Alexandria had taken its toll on me. I was ashy, slow, and sleepy all the time. It was like the place was sucking the life out of me. Any excuse to get up and move more, even hunting down a rogue coworker, was a good one. It's only for a while, I reminded myself. Standing, I could see out the massive windows that looked out onto downtown Alexandria, the university, and beyond that, the start of a tree line that stretched all the way out to the swamp. The lights were out beyond the comfort of my cubicle pod. Besides the whir of my desktop, the office was silent. I couldn't even tell if the air was on. I passed the floor-to-ceiling glass windows looking out onto our locked server room where our server racks were kept. Inside, it was a buzzing cacophony of fans, AC units, whirs, and beeps. Keeping the racks cool meant it was always frigid in there. It made me feel claustrophobic, and it kind of reminded me of a morgue. I avoided it when I could. To be fair, the break room wasn't much more hospitable. I was shivering as I switched on the lights and got the Keurig going, stretching out my stiff back as best as I could. I was really turning into sysadmin monkey. I wondered how much longer it'd be before I snapped and started flinging crap at my coworkers. That thought made me laugh, and the sound was just a little too loud around me. I shouldn't have been surprised when the elevator wasn't working. I was sure as hell pissed off, though. No matter how hard I jabbed the down button, it remained stubbornly dark. When I pressed my ear against the cold metal doors, it was silent within. No telltale grinding of machinery. It's dead, Jim. I gave the doors a kick and did nothing but stub my toes and made my way to the stairs. I half expected to hear the elevator show up behind me as I shoved open the heavy metal door to the stairwell, but all I heard was the harsh clang of the opposite knob hitting the concrete. It was dark except for the emergency exit signs casting a sharp green glow on the metal steps. As I took them down, the sound of each footfall echoed off the walls, ringing in my ears. I think that's when I started to realize just how alone I was. During the daylight hours, I might come across a smoker loitering on the landing or somebody taking a phone call on the clock. Once I found two admins making out like a pair of teenagers. Our CFO almost knocked me down the stairs on my second day and had avoided eye contact with me ever since. Now I knew the place was just empty. Hollow. I knew it, but for some reason my brain insisted on reading those echoing footsteps as something else entirely. I found myself moving faster, taking steps two at a time, even as my chucks slipped and slid on the worn edges. It might just be Rita, I told myself. So why didn't I want to look back? I hit the door to the fourth floor and threw it open harder than I needed to. I was breathless and jittery. I told myself it was just the caffeine hitting me, but I couldn't help feeling relieved when I heard the door shut after me and stay shut. The hallway was dark, but I could tell it looked almost identical to the hall upstairs on my floor. To my left and right were large doors, both with the GSD Inc. logo on them. I swiped my key card and pushed open the door to my left, where the accounts payable people sit. The long room of cubicles was completely dark, all except for one monitor near the far wall. The expansive room was that kind of quiet you only get when you're completely alone. The kind of quiet you get when you come home to what you expect to be your girlfriend, but instead find an empty closet and a note. The kind of quiet you get from having to unlock the door yourself after school because your mom was working late again. I knew this quiet like a bitter rival. There was no one else there. I steadied my breathing and quick stepped over to the light. On the outside of the cubicle, a tacked-up paper sign with curly Q letters read, Rita C. A Kathy cartoon was tacked above it. The cubicle was empty, the seat pushed in, but the monitor was bright. The screen had a number of windows open, but one in the center caught my eye. At first, I thought Rita had left a YouTube video playing because something moved on the screen. A female face looked back at me. Her eyes were huge and she was a little sweaty and disheveled. It took me longer than it should have to recognize the face on the screen as my own. It was me. Me staring back at myself. All the computers in the building came with integrated webcams for web conference calls, but when I glanced up at the camera at the top of her monitor, the green indicator light next to the lens was turned off. I frowned and pressed my thumb against the lens to block the view, but it didn't block anything. I was still staring directly back at myself, only now I could see my arm stretched out of the frame. Confused, I waved my hand around the shelves above and next to her monitor, but nothing. I just stared directly into my own eyes. I looked behind the monitor, lifting it just to be certain I wasn't missing a second camera somewhere, but when I looked back, I wasn't staring at my face anymore. I was staring at my back. It was the grainy, bluish gray of night vision security, but it was my back. I recognized the Rush logo from the shirt I was wearing. I tried to force myself to turn around to look behind me, but I couldn't. My spine was cemented in place. It didn't make sense. None of it made sense. I hadn't heard the stairwell door open, I reminded myself. Maybe Rita accidentally tapped into the security feeds. Maybe this was all just a really stupid joke. Trolling the new girl some bullshit rite of passage. That was the thought that got me moving at last. It got me angry. It was ass o'clock and I was exhausted. I was stuck in a dead-end job in a dead-end town. Didn't I have enough to deal with? I turned around expecting to see the camera or smirking faces of my teammates. But behind me, facing Rita's computer, was the 9-foot-high glass window. I poked my head out of the cubicle, looking left, then right. Nothing. Not even the blinking red light of a security camera or the harsh green glow of the exit sign. It didn't make sense. None of this made sense. When I looked back to Rita's monitor, the feeds had changed again. It was still the grainy gray-green of night vision, but now I was looking at what looked like a person. Not me, somebody else now, another woman, banging her shoulder against a door like they were trying to force it open. The video was a little out of focus and directly above the person looking down, but I could see the frantic way she threw her weight against the locked door. What was I watching? Was this one of those Face Your Fear TV shows? A jostling sound came from the other end of the office, like someone had banged into a desk. Heart pounding in my ears, I looked up over the wall of the cubicle to the other end of the office. My knees had started to shake a little bit and nervous energy ran through my body. It was dark all but for the harsh red glow of the emergency exit sign. My mouth had gone dry and I gulped with fear. It felt like swallowing a rock. I turned back to the computer screen and the camera angle had shifted again. I was now staring at the lady's back. She was still throwing herself against the door, but now I noticed something in her surroundings. In the fuzzy, out-of-focus grain, it looked like a bookshelf, but there was something in the middle of it. It was a blinking light. I stared hard at the blinking light for perhaps 2 seconds before I realized what I was staring at. That was a link light. I was staring at a server rack. Someone was locked in the server room. I turned on my heels and I ran as fast as I could. I ran up 4 flights of stairs, the recent terrors in the stairwell forgotten. When I made it to my floor, I was panting heavily. The office was still completely dark except for the 3 fluorescent lights above my pod. I sprinted to the floor-to-ceiling glass walls that surrounded our server racks. I peered inside, but from where I stood, the room looked empty. Had a cleaning lady gotten stuck inside? Where was she? I moved to the opaque metal door at the front of the room, scanned my badge and unlocked it, and threw the door open, fully expecting someone to topple out on top of me. But there was nothing there. No one. Absolutely no one. The dull, cacophonous, roaring whir of the fans and air conditioners tore through the silence of the office like a shovel through snow. But other than that, the room was empty. In the movies, this is where I would call out with a confused hello, but by now I was way too freaked out to break the silence of the room, to draw attention to myself. I closed my eyes tight, took several deep breaths, willing my pulse to slow down. I closed the door and took a deep breath. As if on cue, somewhere from the dark end of the office came a rustling like papers falling off of a desk. My jaw ached from how tightly I was clenching my teeth. I cautiously stretched my neck around the wall into the darkness, but all I could see were the windows on the far end. Enough was enough. Prank, break-in, alien invasion, whatever it was, it didn't matter. I was done. I had no intention of spending another 2 hours jumping at every sound, every shadow. I moved towards my desk, forcing myself to walk casually. As I passed a coworker's desk, then, I heard the distinctive ding of their computer booting up. I paused and stepped back to the desk. monitor was on, which I knew a second ago it hadn't been. While I tried to remember if I'd accidentally moved the mouse and woken the computer up, a window popped up in the middle of the screen. I found myself seeing front view of the server room again, the view you would get if you were standing in the door looking in. The image was fuzzy and the grayish green of night vision. I turned desperately to the server room again and saw that it was empty but for the racks of servers and the blinking lights. I was frustrated. I was scared. What was going on? This had to be an old feed. It was the only explanation. Someone had recorded this hours ago just to mess with me, just to play with my head. It was all just a sick joke. It only got more sick when the windows blinked and the video changed again. It was me. My face stared back at me from the screen, or something like my face. It couldn't be me. The me on the screen was green and grainy and screaming. There was no sound from the speakers on the desk, but my face was contorted into panicked horror. I could see my hands moving quickly in and out of the frame on either side as if I was smacking against a wall. Tears were streaming down my face, and it looked like... It almost seemed like... I was screaming for help. Then the me on the screen lurched violently to one side, like I was trying to hit something out of view, jostling the camera. I screamed and took three terrified steps back and tripped on my untied chucks. I hit the ground hard and was already scrambling back to my feet when I heard the distinctive symphony of computers dinging to life all across the office. The glow of computer screens painted the dark office in a haunting gray tone. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see the video window at the center of every computer screen with me at the center of it, pounding, screaming, crying, scratching, pleading for help. All around me, my face was staring at me, silently screaming to let her out. I crashed into my desk, knocking over my monitor in the process. I heard the sickening crunch of it cracking. I didn't even look back. I just snatched up my keys and my backpack and ran. The exit seemed 1,000 miles away, my face silently screaming at me from every monitor I passed. I could barely see where I was going through the tears in my eyes. I was almost to the door when I heard the thing that brought me to a skidding stop. I didn't want to stop. I shook my head vigorously, trying to will myself to not have heard it. Instead, it came again. The unmistakable sound of knuckles rapping desperately on glass. I don't know how long I stood there while the room spun around me. Too long, that's for sure. I knew I should keep running, but I turned my head instead, back to face the server room. How could I leave someone behind there? I asked myself. There was someone there. Someone stood behind the door to the server room, pressed against the glass, pounding furiously with all their might. I felt my keys drop and my bag after them. I felt something behind my eye pop, and I screamed. At first, I thought I was looking at my own reflection. Then the me behind the glass screamed too, banging, kicking, slapping at the barrier between us, screaming something I couldn't hear. I kept backing away until I backed into something cold and spongy like moss-covered stone. Just like that, the me behind the glass snapped her jaw shut. Stiffly, seeming against my will, I turned. It was more than 9 feet tall. Its head touched the ceiling and its body moved and swayed like cobwebs. Its eyes were sunken pits with yellow pinpricks at their center. Wiry, seaweed-like hair came down over its face. And it was smiling at me. A huge, strangled, frenzied smile with a mouth full of hundreds of cracked, jagged teeth. Somewhere, distantly in the back of my head, I realized what my double was screaming. She was telling me to run. The room exploded with the sounds of my screams and the cacophonous roar of the server room. It's cold where I am. The constant howl of the fans blow dry, frigid air. When people started showing up to the office the next morning, I banged on the glass to get their attention. When it seemed like no one could hear me, I started screaming at the top of my lungs, slamming my body against the door. I broke a tooth throwing myself against the glass. I screamed for help, begging them to help me to please, please let me out. I pulled server blades from their racks and threw them at the glass, but still no one even turned in my direction. I watched as my supervisor found my monitor knocked over and my backpack and keys on the floor. I watched him asking around, I guessed seeing if anyone had seen me. I screamed that I was here. I was right next to him. Turn around. I'm here. Just look. I pounded and slapped and scratched at the glass wall. When the police came and examined my desk for clues to my disappearance, I was smashing computer equipment against the glass, sobbing. My heavy, wet, choking breaths muffled by the droning roar of the fans. By the time my weeping mother came to collect my bag, I'd given up. I sat with my back against the server rack and watched as she buried her face in my backpack and shook with huge, racking sobs. I'm still sitting. Still watching the world go about its workday, completely oblivious to my presence here. Turns out a while can be a long time. Eventually, I'll be forgotten entirely. The IT girl who went missing one night. It's easy to forget, what with their schedules. These are busy people, after all. I can tell by the insectile ways they buzz around their desks. It's easy to forget when you busy yourself with mindless tasks. Perhaps one day, I'll forget myself.
I know you all enjoyed that as much as I did. Thanks, Lisa, for sharing your story with us. And for reminding us that the dark, cold places in the world are never quite as far away as we might like to think. With modern distractions like computers, smartphones, and the vivid figments of imagination brought on by affordable hallucinogens, it's easy to lose yourself. That's as true here in Alexandria as it is out in any big city. If there's one thing exploring the archives has taught me, it's that everybody's got a story. I'll bet you've got one too. Has something strange or unexplainable happened to you? Have you ever wanted to air your dirty laundry on AU Radio? Send it along to alexandriaarchives@gmail.com and we just might share it. We're all Wendigos here, right? No judgments. Except for you. Yes, you know who you are, and we are all judging you. Once again, thanks for joining us. I hope we've made the witching hour just a little more lively for all you night gaunts out there. If you like what you heard, please join us next time, same hour, same channel. You can keep up with us on Facebook on the Alexandria Archives page, and on Twitter at WowSignal, that's W-H-A-U Signal. Like us, tweet at us, share us with your friends, the more the merrier. Now get some sleep, would you? It's dark out there.